Welcome back on Golf Today. We flash back to 2024 and the Curtis Cup at Sunningdale when Team GB and I, led by Captain Katrina Matthew, won 3 points on the final day to beat the U.S. 10.5 to 9.5, and the win snapped a run of 3 straight defeats for Team GB and I. How about this year? Curtis Cup will take place at Bel Air Country Club in L.A. This will be the 44th edition of the amateur team competition, and it will be held June 12th through the 14th in part of a sweet, sweet run of upcoming venues for the Curtis Cup, including Royal Darnach, National Golf Links of America, Pine Valley, Bandon Dunes, Cypress Point along the Monterey Peninsula. Rachel Sadowski is the USGA's Curtis Cup Match Director and joins us now. It's nice to see you, Rachel. We're less than 2 months away. What's top of mind for you as you continue to prepare for the Curtis Cup?
Well, you know, preparations have been going on for a few years now. So at this point, we're sort of fine-tuning. You know, my primary role is working with the golf course superintendent, and that's on agronomics and golf course setup. So we're really fine-tuning the green speeds, golf course setup, looking at hole locations for match week and items like that.
What are the challenges that you face then in setting up a golf course like Bel Air? Because it's not a golf course that tends to hold a lot of big events on a regular basis where you've got a kind of a data set to work from. You're kind of flying blind a little bit, right?
Well, I'm pretty fortunate that so Bel Air hosted the 2023 US Women's Amateur, and I'm the championship director for that event as well. So I got to know the course really well leading into that 2023 championship, and I did the setup for that. And so for me, I would say setting up this golf course is a lot of fun. The layout is fantastic. There's a lot of different holes. We've got long par fours, shorter strategic par fours, you know, 5 really unique par threes, all with a different club in their hand into them. So, you know, and the agronomics are really good here all the time. I haven't had to work that hard. You know, they keep their golf course in championship condition all the time. So not too many challenges on that front. I think it's going to be a really good test for the players.
Yeah, on that note, how much do you want this golf course to capture and represent the USGA ethos of tough, challenging, US Open-like even?
You know, what we want to have a great match. We want to bring out the best in these girls. I mean, we're talking about the top 8, you know, amateurs on the US and the top 8 amateurs from Great Britain and Ireland. And we want to showcase how great they are. So, but then the unique part of it is that this is a match play event, unlike the US Open. So we can get kind of fun with our setup. And like I said, we have these shorter par threes. We have really long par threes and same thing with the fours. We can kind of have a really good variety of setup. And the goal is really to have a different club in their hand all the way through so that not one hole play is the same as another. And I think that philosophy is across all of our championships, and we'll certainly see it at the Curtis Cup as well.
Rachel, sometimes golf fans can roll their eyes when they see venues being announced decades in advance, but it's a heck of a menu you've got lined up here for the Curtis Cup between National Golf Links, Pine Valley, Bandon Dunes, Cypress Point, Seminole. Is it fair that the Curtis Cup, in terms of its scale, lends itself to these great old venues that perhaps have been outpaced, certainly by the men's game and perhaps even majors on the women's game?
Well, you know, looking at the lineup of clubs that we have, I mean, it's really exciting. And I think it's a really good reflection of the, you know, the trajectory of the women's game. I mean, you look at how much it's grown, even in this, the last, you know, five or so years. And part of that is, you know, thanks to the support from Golf Channel and the amount of coverage we get for those women amateurs and really getting to showcase how good they are. And now we're getting to put them on the best stages in America for them to really show off their skills. And I think that that's just a testament to how the women's game is growing.
You grew up in England, Rachel. Who are you actually rooting for in this Curtis Cup?
There's no rooting on my side. I'm about as impartial as it gets. You know, I spent my first 18 years in England, and I've spent the last, I shouldn't age myself here, but the last 20 or so here in the US. I have dual citizen children, so I think I'm about as impartial as it gets for this.
Well, part of that time in America was spent at the AJGA, which I'm a big fan of. I actually covered Jordan Spieth when he was a 16-year-old and saw some young people out there. How did your time at the AJGA inform what you do now, if in any way?
A lot. You know, I'm really lucky that I've been kind of on this golf administration, setting up golf course side for a while now. And, you know, I spent six years with the AJGA, getting to know a lot of the juniors that are now kind of on the tour, that Jordan Spieth era of junior golfers. And now with my role here, I'm spending a lot more time just on the women's side. But I certainly feel like my experiences over these last, you know, 18 or so years in golf administration has set me up perfectly for this.
Rachel, you grew up in England. I grew up in Los Angeles. Since you've been out there so much, have you been able to take in a Dodger game, a Laker game? Have you gone to the beach? Have you had In-N-Out? Like, what kind of things are you able to do when you're not, you know, getting your hands dirty on the golf course?
You know, I haven't spent that much time being a tourist. I have two young children in New Jersey, so a lot of my travel is business only, and I'm on red eyes back home. But I've certainly been to In-N-Out. Can't deny that one.
Well, fantastic, Rachel. We're all looking forward to the Curtis Cup. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll speak to you ahead of the matches.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Here is the format for the Curtis Cup in June. The first 2 days each feature three foursomes and three four-ball matches. Final day, June 14th, eight singles matches. It's a point for each victory, a half point for any matches that are tied after 18 holes. PB&I, as the defending champions, only need 10 points to retain the cup. The US needs 10 and a half for the victory. But a couple of weeks ago, Retief Goosen joined us here and he insisted he was hitting it well. He just needed his putter to cooperate. The flat stick did just that on the weekend as he won again on the PGA Tour Champions. He's here to thank us for the inspiration. Coming up next. We're back on Golf Today. Now, Retief Goosen owns a pair of US Open titles. The first came in 2001. It was in a Monday playoff with Mark Brooks at Southern Hills in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Number two came 3 years later, final round 71 at Shinnecock Hills in New York, and that was good enough to beat Phil Mickelson by two strokes.
Yeah, and how about this? He's still winning. Sunday, Retief won the PGA Tour Champions Mitsubishi Electric Classic at TPC Sugarloaf, and the win? How about this, guys? 24 years after he won the PGA Tour's Bell South Classic on the same course, this was his fifth career win on the PGA Tour Champions in a post-age 50 career that continues to excel. Five wins and 150 starts. Got that major in 2019 at the College Companies Championship. The only pair to win a modified Stableford event on both the PGA Tour and PGA Tour Champions. And the World Golf Hall of Fame member joins us now. Retief, congratulations. Was there anything from 2002 that you, like, remembered 24 years later that helped you get the job done on the 50 and over set?
You remember that course pretty well, especially any course you win on, you always remember it, and the courses you lose on, you tend to forget. But it's hard to believe it's been 24 years. It was. I always played well around there at that course. I don't know, the course just seems to suit me. I like the feel of the course. It's a lot of tricky holes out there that you've got to navigate pretty carefully. And with the Stableford event last week, it made the course play in a way almost a little easier, because you can be a little bit more aggressive in a way. Because all you're thinking about is making points, points, and not really. If you make a double bogey, you pick up and you go on. But in a way, it was great to play that format again. You're so used to just playing stroke play, and having a bit of a different feel to event was great for everybody. Enjoyed it.
Retief, when you joined us here a few weeks ago, you said that you were hitting the ball well. You just needed the putter to start cooperating. It certainly seems as though it cooperated for you at the weekend.
Yeah, definitely. I got there early in the week, and I put a different grip on my putter, and I played the pro-am on the Thursday, and after nine holes, I said to my caddy, Jeff, hey, run over to the truck there and tell him to take this grip off and put this other grip back on for me. And so I played the back nine with a conventional putter grip, and I also changed my hands on the putter. Went from like a two thumb grip to just a conventional overlap, double overlap putter grip, like I used to putt with for years and years. And suddenly it's felt comfortable. I took it into the round, first round. And the first round, I just started making putts. I hit the ball really well in the first round. And I just stuck with it all week. And, yeah, the hole seemed to be big enough to fit on every green. And it was great fun to finally, you know, get the putter rolling again. As we know, you need to make putts and go off to win.
Is that something that's happened to you with any frequency in your career, Retief, where you find something like that that's seemingly random and totally unexpected and you just kind of ride it all the way to the trophy at the end of the week?
Yeah, no, it is. It's funny how it works sometimes, this game. You know, you just find something on a driving range suddenly early in the week and you just take it to the course and you just taking all the flags down, you know, hitting it great. And, you know, if you can hit it close, you can make putts. But if you keep hitting it 30, 40 feet away, you're not going to make any. Yeah, it's been a number of times that, you know, I remember a Jim Furyk's event last year after two rounds, I was making no putts. I drove to the PGA Superstore and picked up a different putter there. And then the following day, I shot 64, made everything. So sometimes just a little different look. Just suddenly make you see your lines better or feel more comfortable.
Retief, there's some youngsters coming out these last few weeks and months and years. You get the Zach Johnsons and the Stuart Sinks and people that you battled with on the PGA Tour. Have you surprised yourself with how motivated you still are, how hungry you still are to win out there?
Yeah, I mean, there's times that that I felt, you know, maybe it's time to stop. I mean, this game, you know, as you get older, you get a little bit more jittery in the hands. You're not as steady as you used to be. But, yeah, you just, you know, when you have the opportunity to win out here, you just got to put your head down and go. The guys really shoot low scores around here. We don't really have that much rough on the Champions Tour, so scoring is generally very low. You know, last week I shot probably, 18 under for three rounds to win by the 2 points. So it's tough out here. The young guys every year coming up, you know, they come from the PGA Tour and they're keen to get going and win. And Stuart Sink has been playing unbelievable so far for his time he's been out here. He's just hitting the ball a long way, striking the ball beautifully. And yeah, Zach Johnson, I knew he was going to do well. He's just a perfect fit for the Champions Tour. The courses aren't as long as the PGA Tour, and he's very straight, especially with his wedges.
How's the body holding up at 57, Retief? How many Tylenol does it take to get over the aches and pains in the morning to get you going?
Yeah, no, I actually had surgery in the beginning of the year for a little hernia, and so I had to take 3 weeks off from that. You know, in the mornings you wake up and you walk around, you go, oh, what's it going to be today? You know, how am I going to feel today? I mean, health at the end of the day is the most important thing, and especially as you get older. You know, I've had back surgery, I've had shoulder surgery. It just takes it out on you, this game. It's a grinding game, and I played a lot of golf in my time, and very lucky still to be out here and play. You know, there's very few sports that we could still compete at our age. You know, tennis and all those games, when you're 35, you're pretty much done. So we're very lucky to still have a tour out here we can play on.
Retief, in 2002, you won at TPC Sugarloaf. You also finished runner-up in the Masters to Tiger Woods, and you famously said, well, maybe I'll get the green pants. Did you ever get those green pants? Do you own a pair of green pants?
No, I don't even own a pair of green pants. Well, I got a green shirt on today, but it wasn't from that. But, they never even, as a joke, maybe sent me a pair of green trousers. But anyway, the Augusta would have been a nice one to have won. You know, I finished second there a few times and third. You know, it's the one where everybody wants to go back to. It's such a special place.
Retief, there's a lot of conversation these days about how compressed the schedule is on the PGA Tour with majors and signature events. Out on the Champions Tour, you actually have three majors in a row coming up this summer. Are you a fan of that? Because I guess if you're hot, it can be career-defining out there. But if you get cold for those 3 weeks, then you're kind of losing a lot of ground.
Yeah, true. Yeah, and the majors, you know, you got to walk. Last week, you can use a cart if you want. But the majors, you got to walk. So 4 days, we don't really walk four rounds out here anymore. So some of the golf courses are quite hilly. It takes it out on you. Luckily, I'm still fairly on the fit side and managed to keep myself in a bit of shape and get around the course 72 holes. But 3 weeks majors. It's probably going to be more mental side, quite draining for you, majors. You know, US Senior Open is definitely going to be hard. Who knows? Hopefully, we'll see Tiger there. Who knows what the future holds? You know, we need him out here on the Champions Tour. I would like to see him, you know, when he gets back, at least teed up and come and play some golf, and even if he gets around in a golf cart. But the guy needs to get back on the golf course. Sitting at home, it does him no good.
On that point, how much support would he have out there, Retief? You guys are his peers. You're the ones who competed against him. Should he find his way back, considering what he's been dealing with? How much support would he have out there?
Oh, massive. You know, when Phil turned 50 and he came out on the Champions Tour, yeah, it was huge. I mean, the crowd's attendance just tripled. And the guy won, I think, four out of his first five or six events playing on a Champions Tour. And then obviously Liv came around and he moved out and he was banned from playing on the Champions Tour. But hopefully one day they'll change that rule and let these guys come back. You know, the Champions Tour needs those legend players. And that's what the Champions Tour is all about, is getting those past great players to support this tour and make this tour grow.
Well, in the meantime, we hope you keep the hot streak going this week, Retief, for a major championship. Don't do anything with that putter between now and Sunday, because it seems to be performing pretty well, and we appreciate the time.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
Golf Today, I'll be right back.
Back on Golf Today, last week in the Chevron Championship, hook 'em. Texas Longhorns junior Farrah O'Keefe tied for low amateur honors. Finishing at even par, even with the struggle in the final round, she shot 68, 69, 72 through the first three rounds to help her to that achievement. She was the number one player from the state of Texas when she left high school. This year, she's won three tournaments with top 10 finishes in all 10 tournaments she's played. The Chevron Championship was her fourth LPGA Tour start. And how about this, Farrah? And her team will be a big story tomorrow as part of the NCAA Women's Selection Show, as teams will punch their tickets to the NCAA Women's Golf Championships tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Golf Channel. We have Farrah with us now, fresh back. I think she's in Austin. It's great to see you. Congrats on a wonderful week, by the way. What memories have stayed with you from Memorial Park?
Thank you. I think I learned so much from last week. You know, I had Bentley on the bag, and so I think kind of figuring out who works for me on the bag has been kind of a bit of a journey, and I feel like I'm starting to narrow it down a little bit. But really, I just had a great time. You know, it's always a great opportunity when you get to compare your game against the professionals at that kind of stage and enjoy it along the way. I mean, there's so many different things that I got to do outside of golf while I was there that was pretty neat. They had an amateur dinner. They call it the Future Champions Dinner, which was super cool. And I got to spend some time with all the other amateur competitors and just hang out and enjoy life.
That first round 68 you shot at the Chevron, Farrah, it tied the second lowest round in any major ever by an amateur. Were you aware at the time of the scale of what you were actually achieving out there, or were you just kind of working your way through the round like it was any other?
It's so funny. I saw that stat somewhere afterwards. I had no idea. I had an afternoon tea time, so I thought in the morning, you know, that 6 under would be pretty good. So I kind of had the thought of going out there and try to shoot 66. 68 ended up being a little bit higher than what I wanted, but still it was, I didn't realize at the time that it was that big of a deal. You know, I thought I still made a couple of mistakes along the way, which, you know, I'm a perfectionist. And so anytime you make mistakes, it's kind of frustrating. But I was really happy to come off the golf course and be in contention. And then I saw that stat pop up somewhere and I was like, oh, okay, that's pretty incredible.
Farah, I understand you had a lot of people that came up to you last week, and even some that were a little bit sad that had been reeling from the loss of the campers at Camp Mystic. You had a mom bring you a bracelet from that terrible tragedy from a year ago. Did you feel like you were kind of playing for something greater than yourself last week?
Definitely. I think any time that I get to play in Texas and I have the opportunity to represent my state and, you know, things that are so much bigger than myself, I feel like I take it a little bit more seriously. With everything that happened over July 4th here, you know, there's just so much turmoil in that time, and the people that I've gotten to know, you know, I've had the Hollis family. I've kind of gotten to know them more last week, but Bentley knew them way before then. And so it's just crazy how those kinds of things connect people and bring everybody together in their humanity. But yeah, I think anytime I get the opportunity to play in Texas in front of, whether it's our home event at UT Golf Club, and I have the opportunity to play in front of my friends and family, or in Houston where, you know, there's other people that I don't know that I get to play in front of that I may have an impact on, it means a lot to me. And I don't carry that lightly. You know, I know the position that I'm in, I know what I get to represent, and whatever I'm wearing on my chest or wearing on my back, I'm going to try to uphold that with the highest level of integrity that I can.
It's a great perspective to hold on to as you move through your career. Farah, you've only made a few starts on the LPGA Tour, and when you look at those three first rounds that you shot last week at the Chevron, if you leave aside the struggles on Sunday, in the mortals division, outside of what Nelly Korda was doing last week, you were actually playing great golf. You must have left there thinking that you got to be thinking you're a lot closer to being able to compete at an LPGA Tour level than you imagined before you got there.
Oh, definitely. You know, I feel like I when I was 16, I played in the Volunteers of America that used to be in Dallas. And I remember going into that week thinking that it was just an opportunity for me to see if I could even compete at that level. And I ended up making the cut. I think I finished like T56. I didn't play well on the weekend. But it was really a cool learning opportunity for me then when I was 16. And I felt like I came out of that tournament realizing that my game actually held up a lot better than I thought it did. Mostly because I'd only ever played local stuff. And so I didn't really know even at higher level junior events how I would compete. But I think anytime I get the opportunity to compete in a professional event, it's okay, let's see where my game is. You know, there's pressure, but it's like, it's less performative pressure. It's more of like, I want to do well because of the expectations I set for myself. But I think this week, you know, shot 7 under in the first two rounds, and I don't really know where my position was, but I know I was somewhere at the top of the leaderboard. And so I walked away from that feeling really, really excited. And even though like you said, I had some troubles on Sunday. Even though I didn't play my best on Sunday, I still felt like if that's the worst that it gets, it's not that bad. So at least I didn't shoot 80.
Well, your head must be spinning with all the traveling you're doing. You got Chevron, you got the NCAAs, you got the Curtis Cup in June. Have you spent some time at Bel Air? Your thoughts on what is one of the true gems of American golf?
Yeah, they had, I got to go to the practice session in January, and that was my first time playing there. And I really think that is such a special place. It's a very cool golf course. But also the membership and the actual club itself is really, really neat. And they've been really, really kind to us. And I'm just super excited to tee it up in June. I think it's going to be so fun. And anytime that I get to represent my country, you know, whether it's the Palmer Cup or now it's the Curtis Cup, it feels like an absolute blessing and an honor. And, you know, I try to represent whatever I am wearing on my chest to the best of my ability. And I think it's just going to be super exciting for me, obviously, but also all the other girls on that team and captain and everybody that puts all of their hard work in behind the scenes.
Barry, you had a funny misunderstanding of the Chevron when you happened to mention in public that you were going to go meet a guy that you play online video games with, and people thought you were putting yourself in danger. Tell us the story behind that.
Yeah, so I guess there was a misunderstanding there. I actually met Austin playing golf. So I didn't meet him online. I met him in person playing golf at this local club in Austin called Balcones. And I kind of just hang out in that friend group a little bit, and he happened to be there, and we made friends over that. And then I found out he played Fortnite. And I had already been playing Fortnite with my brother and Bentley, and so we added him to the squad. And now we run quads on Fridays, Saturday nights when I'm home, or really sometimes even weekday nights, which is probably not too good to hear for my professors and everything. But you know, you got to do what you got to do off the golf course to stay relaxed, and so that when it comes time to focus, and sometimes even in the classroom, when it comes time to focus, you have all that energy.
Well, you might bump into one of my kids on Fortnite. One of my three sons plays, but best of luck in Fortnite. Most importantly, best of luck in all your golf endeavors. If they don't work out, we'll place for you at Golf Channel. You're a wonderful spokesperson, and it's great to visit with you, Farah. All the best.
Thank you all so much.
And here's a reminder that tomorrow, 4 p.m. Eastern time, right here on Golf Channel, it's the NCAA Women's Selection Show. The field for the NCAA Women's Golf Championship will be set, and Farah's Texas team will be featuring. Golf Today. Be right back.
We flash back to the last time the PGA Tour teed it up at Doral 2016. Adam Scott held off Bubba Watson to win by a shot in the World Golf Championships event. It was Adam's second victory in as many weeks. How about this season? Adam playing well, solo fourth at Riviera, good play at API and the Masters, seeing the weekend every single time, and now seeing George Savarikas.
With the last man to win a PGA Tour event here in Doral, Adam Scott, I don't know if we can call you defending champ because we're a decade removed, but memories from that week as you head into the event this week.
Yeah, Doral has strong memories for me, not just winning that event 10 years ago, but coming here for many years before that was just a long time PGA Tour venue. So it feels fantastic to be back this week. Obviously, the most recent memories were really positive for me. I was on a real hot run at that moment and somehow managed to overcome a couple doubles early in the last round and make a ton of birdies coming in and win this event around one of the iconic venues on the PGA Tour. So happy to be back and looking forward to this week.
Yeah, you mentioned one of the iconic venues, the Blue Monster. It had a foothold on the PGA Tour dating all the way back to 1962. For the casual golf fan who may not be familiar, what's the test going to be like this week?
Yeah, it's been called the Blue Monster for a long time for good reason. It's a big, tough golf course. I would probably say typical Florida style with a lot of water. And, you know, it's really hard to escape from the water, so it's very penal out there. There have been probably a couple of tees added since we were here 10 years ago, only making it longer. Everyone seems to be talking about how big of a golf course it is these last couple of days here at Doral. So it seems familiar to me, but going to be a tough test, always is.
Looking at your game since the Open last summer, you've made 16 consecutive cuts worldwide. How have you been playing at such a consistently high level?
The game tee to green has really taken shape since last summer. I need the putter to kind of heat up a little bit. It doesn't feel bad, but it's just not on fire at all. At Augusta, I played really solid tee to green, and I just couldn't get the momentum really going, and that was on the greens. So looking to find a little spark on the greens, and if I do, hopefully that'll complement the good shots tee to green and try and get in the mix.
I saw you and Justin Rose catching up earlier. We make so much of Justin's longevity regimen that he's shared with us as far as the cold plunge, what he travels with week to week. Do you guys ever swap notes? And what has been the secret to your longevity and your success?
Yeah, I think Justin and I's careers have like paralleled along with each other. We're basically exactly the same age. I think we're 2 weeks apart. And, you know, we've don't compare notes, but I think we're both observing and learning and, you know, seeing how everything evolves and moves and what can be helpful for each of us to continue to stay out here. And he's just been playing, you know, phenomenal golf. He's got it all kind of lined up at the moment. And actually, we're paired together this week, so that's pretty fun. But he's been doing a great job of it. I try my best to do a good job of it as well and keep my body in a place where I can remain out here and injury-free and hopefully contending a little more often.
Well, play well this week, and thanks for the time.
Yeah, thanks, mate.
Adam Scott gets his work underway tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern time at the Cadillac Championship in the company of Justin Rose. Well, Megan Stassi is the captain of the U.S. team for Bel Air and the Curtis Cup that is coming up in June.